B-Pod Studios.
They bring you insight like no one else can.
Used to have the trainer slap him before every game.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Slap me, come on. Slap me harder.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Noontime on a Thursday. Beatle and Friends continues this week. Adam Jones, Matt McCarthy making their return after Monday's show at the Cask. No live crowd here to heckle Jones today.
No.
That's disappointing.
He does have his Nets hat on, though.
I think that's why Ime was a little late. I think he was. You think he was put off by it?
Not one bit.
You don't think so?
Nope.
Not on his radar?
Nope.
All right, that's disappointing. That cuts me deep.
I don't
interview
think
he was done under protest.
That cuts me deep.
Hey, you want to go down a great rabbit hole? You
sure.
Want a great internet rabbit hole?
Oh, this is a good one. Were you not aware of this until today?
I had no idea. Someone, I want to point out whoever it was that brought it to my attention, if I can find it. I can't. I'll find it in a minute. But someone said, go look at Don Orsillo's likes on Twitter. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
He likes tweets that say Dave O'Brien is awful. He likes the tweet that had the picture of Maz last week. And this he didn't like that tweet.
No, didn't like that one.
So Nesson tweeted out a picture over the weekend that says, welcome to the booth at Tony Maserati. It was a picture of Dave O'Brien and Maz. And someone named Patty Matz retweeted that and said, we once had Remy and Orsillo. Now we have this mess. Just let Eck do it solo. Orsillo liked that tweet. He was not tagged in the tweet.
Nope. He found it.
He wasn't even liked in it?
He liked it.
Oh, boy. Somebody forwarded that to me on Twitter, and I couldn't.
He could have been tagged
one.
In the comments.
That's true.
Yeah, maybe. But whatever it is, he made sure he liked that tweet.
Yeah, he made sure he found that one. I tried to find if he liked that one or not. Oh, yeah, here we go.
Yeah,
I didn't scroll down far enough. You got to do some scrolling to April 16th, but you're right.
Let's see. Dave O'Brien is awful. I'm sorry. Needs to be said. Red Sox can do better. Don Orsillo is the worst move this ownership group has made. Like Babe Ruth bad.
And he's liking them all.
He's liking them.
You know what he does? He searches for his name.
He could be doing that.
Because there's a bunch of tweets on there that just say Don Orsillo written out.
They don't say tagged. They don't say add Don Orsillo. Interesting.
Yeah. That's something.
Give him a big like.
Yeah.
Okay, but so
that's like me every time somebody says they should fire Adam Jones, me being like,
yeah,
like.
Yeah. Right.
Like.
Same idea.
Yeah.
But like.
Similar concept.
Again, I think he's got a reason to, you know, be upset with them.
Oh, yeah. No, they screwed him over.
He might be going a little far, but I think he's got every reason to be upset. Sure.
No, what you have here, and Beatle has said it, it's two sides who can't stand each other.
Yeah.
There was obviously some level of miscommunication in here, and now you get this mess.
I'd say the person who loses out is Remy, but I got to be honest, I don't think we would have been talking a lot about the tribute ceremony last night because of the timing of the Celtics game.
Yeah, we wouldn't have been talking about it. This is getting talked about because of what's happened following it. Tom Caron has tweeted out,
oh boy,
our hashtag Remembering Jerry special re-airs April 28th at 1 p.m. on Nesson. And he retweeted Don Orsillo with that tweet because it is 3 minutes of Don Orsillo talking about Jerry Remy.
Uh-huh.
Orsillo had sent that out on April 7th.
Which, again,
when it originally aired.
Which, again.
Again, when, okay, so I got to write that down. April 28th at 1 p.m.
Well, you won't be able to watch. Nesson should literally invite you to come watch that, like the Red Sox invited Don Orsillo. It's right in the middle of your show.
So, guys.
Skip your show and watch it, Beatle.
They're doing it at a very important time. They're doing it at a Thursday at 1 o'clock.
Yeah. Prime time.
Yep.
So they can't move Charlie Moore tonight. Red Sox have a day game. We got Blue Sox game.
Well, guys, do they still run Sports Desk? Guys, let's only play Sports Desk 25 times on that Thursday.
No, they canceled it.
Did they?
They canceled all their shows.
What? They don't have anything now?
No, they got rid of them all.
Hey, guys, after hours, let's only air that
Gone.
25 times instead of 30. We
got
to do that
Gone.
Tribute.
They got rid of it.
They're focusing on gambling now.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Is it their own
the Lombardi line thing?
Is it local programming or is it like picking up VSIN?
I don't know.
Whatever's cheaper, they'll do. That's what Nesson does. Like whatever costs $10 less is what they'll do. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
They got a good app though. We did give them credit for that yesterday. I do think they have a quality app.
Who's that, Nesson?
Yeah, they do. Like if you need to watch the Red Sox game and you want to watch it on your iPad or whatever.
Yeah, I don't need that.
I know you hate baseball. You and Zoe.
So when it comes to the tribute, they keep saying this. I saw a tweet from Chad Finn. The Red Sox are like, well, I mean, Don Orsillo was in our television special tribute. Yeah, because there's no live
which
crowd.
Which aired at 3 a.m.
There's no live crowd to react to. Never mind when it airs. There's no live crowd to react to. What they didn't want was the pop for Orsillo. I mean, that's what I think. That's what they didn't want. You don't get that on Nesson. No one's going to see it.
No, I actually disagree with that, Jones. I do. I think they actually just simply messed it up. To be totally honest,
no, and you're.
You said
at least they invited,
they invited him,
which is true. Yeah. I think again, this is like inviting the friend to your wedding who you know isn't going to show. You invite them, and you're like, look, it's a win-win.
You send them the invite though, like 3 weeks before the wedding.
Right, exactly.
Hey, you weren't on the B list, but you were on the C list.
Yeah, it's like,
we'd like to have
it's like inviting your friend from halfway across the world.
I live in Australia.
No idea. Right, exactly.
What do you mean?
No, it's the same idea.
They're just confused. They think broadcasters miss games all the time because the guy that they fired Orsillo for misses games to call ACC.
I will say this.
You know,
I will say this. Dave O'Brien has got dumped on for years because he's not Orsillo.
Yep.
Right.
Right.
I would just say that anyone who thinks that Dave O'Brien is not good at his job should turn on one of the other broadcasts across the league because you will find that the Red Sox, Jones, you don't watch baseball, so you wouldn't know.
No, I said
I agree with you.
I'm a proud subscriber of the baseball package. You go around the league.
Oh, boy, it's bad.
Holy crap, Jones.
Yep.
Be thankful that you have Dave O'Brien. Now, again, you'd rather have Don Orsillo, which I get, totally understand. But Dave O'Brien is not bad.
No, he's not.
He does not suck.
And he was spectacular on radio. Thought he was excellent.
He's just worse. That's all. He's not bad. He's just worse.
He's just not Orsillo. Huh. Orsillo had a lot of personality that is not really Dave O'Brien's thing.
Sure.
Yeah. That's all.
Yeah.
He's not Orsillo. We loved Orsillo.
I didn't say, honestly, I don't think most people's beef is with him. It's with the Red Sox.
Yeah. I don't think, you do hear it like, oh, Dave O'Brien sucks. Like, no.
Yeah,
no, he doesn't. No, he doesn't.
But I can call some Saturday games in September.
I'd like you to watch some other teams around the league in major markets and get back to me on that because you'll find that prefer Dave O'Brien to most of them.
I'm going to have to take your word on that. I'm going to have to take your word on that.
Give me your login.
I'm not taking in some Pirates
game. You want my MLB.TV
I'm not taking in some Pirates game.
Come on over tonight, Jones. You want to watch some West Coast baseball?
No.
That's what I go to after the Sox.
No.
You want to watch Mookie Betts?
No.
You want to watch the Dodgers?
I said this to you on Monday. I couldn't tell you the last time I watched a non-playoff, neutral Major League Baseball game. Couldn't even tell you.
Not the World Series?
No, I'm saying a non-playoff.
Regular season.
Yes, that would have been a better way for me to say it. A regular season neutral site baseball game. Couldn't even tell you. Mookie Betts. Love Mookie Betts.
A lot of good ball out there.
Probably not going to watch it.
There's a lot. McTakey knows this.
Oh, my gosh.
Baseball guy. We're baseball guys.
So many guys can
turn.
There's
a lot of bad announcers across this league.
Oh, boy, there are.
Woo, there are some where you're like, hey, the microphone's still on. Speak. Say something. Where they just go long stretches without talking.
Yeah.
Well, you're like, what the hell is this?
Well,
they tell you to do that in broadcasting school, I think. They tell you to let the play breathe a little bit.
That's not what they do, Jones. Mm. No, when it's the middle of the third and there's,
I think that's what they tell you to do. I think it sounds awful, but I think, everybody assumes they're,
Oh, broadcasting school's for idiots.
Calling a dramatic.
Broadcasting
a
school,
dramatic
Jones.
Moment. No, it's a April baseball game. Who goes to broadcast? I didn't.
Syracuse.
Nobody
guys.
Here.
Cuse guys.
Yeah, I didn't go there.
I didn't go there. Oh, you didn't go there. You didn't go there.
Hell no.
Nope.
Do we have any Cuse guys on our roster anymore?
No, we've pretty
much. Once we got rid of DA and we got rid of
them.
Kaufman?
Johnston. Johnston.
Johnston.
Glasheen.
Glasheen's a
Cuse guy. Glasheen's a Cuse guy?
Yep.
That's why he's generally a very polished broadcaster.
Glasheen and Johnston, that's true.
Cuse guys. Johnston's a Cuse guy that has the occasional take, so.
You have to give him a couple of swirlies next time.
Not a traditional Cuse guy.
They didn't polish me up at Ithaca.
Let's go to your calls on this. Thanks for hanging on. Jimmy and Quincy, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Nothing. So first off, I do agree. I probably watch 2 to 3 full baseball games a day, and O'Brien is definitely not bad at all. I also want to say that I actually think Orsillo is in the wrong in this whole thing. The Red Sox offered him to come. He couldn't do it. The Red Sox then decided not to use a video, so that's I don't blame him for that. And then for Orsillo to put that out on Twitter the night of Remy's event, I think that was really rude. And, so I think Orsillo is in the wrong here. And I think the Red Sox could have played his video, definitely. But it's definitely not some intentional thing to go after him. So
I disagree with the caller, but I think that's a fairly reasonable take. Like, I think it's reasonable. I think they should have, they could have, and it was petty that they didn't. But, you know, it's possible that, you know, they said, well, we invited him and we're not going to air any videos. I disagree with that, but, yeah, you know, if that's what you want to believe,
we all
do.
We all disagree with this. We all think the Red Sox are wrong, but I also think Orsillo had a chance to make himself look better.
Fair.
Sure. Last night by just sending out the video and saying, I thought this would make it into the tribute. Didn't work out that way, but this is what I wanted to say. And just leave it at that. You know, that's it. Just leave it that. Leave it vague. Post your video.
You're right.
And then people would have figured out a way to fill in the blanks and been like, why didn't the Red Sox play this?
Not posting the video is suspicious. That is true. You said that before.
I keep saying that. Where's the video? Why are you posting the...
They didn't get one.
The Red Sox claiming they didn't get the video and him not posting the video makes me believe, or think, not believe, but starting to think, is there even really a video? Was there a video? Or did you find out the day before they weren't going to play your video and you were like, well, I was ready. I was ready to do it.
Huh.
Still, they'd still be wrong. The Red Sox would still absolutely be 100% wrong. Sure. So,
work it in.
It's still on them.
It's suspicious.
I just think Orsillo could have found a way to make himself look better in this.
Suspicious he didn't post the video.
Yeah, it's that suspicious.
That is true.
What's this?
You're not wrong about that.
I don't need to read off the teleprompter. I need you to do the video, the heartfelt video you wanted to do. Why didn't you do it still? You could still do it. You've got a platform. You would have posted that video. We all would have watched it. People would have pulled the video and used it on other platforms. We'll get to more of your calls coming up next here on Zolak and Bertrand. More on the Nets and Celtics. It's a 2-0 series lead for the Celtics after last night. We'll get back into that as well.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
EIF.
Zolak, Bertrand, and the guy who has to put up with both of them. Hardy.
Hey, nice shirt. Where'd you get that? At the crappy shirt store? Just kidding. How you doing?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Hardy. How you doing?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Drop here today from, how do you say it, T-Bone? We should have asked. I assume
plant
it's
burger.
Plant burger, but there's no A in plant.
Ah.
So their website is plntburger.com. Plant Burger's South End location will partner with Love and Spoonfuls Boston in support of its mission to facilitate the rescue and distribution of healthy, fresh food that would otherwise be discarded throughout Greater Boston. Plant Burger, a quick service restaurant concept dedicated to crafting and redefining some of America's favorite fast foods with eco-conscious plant-based alternatives. Plantburger.com for more info. That's plntburger.com for more info. All right, where were we, Jones? What do we have to get to here?
Well,
we got more calls on Orsillo.
I was going to say, you mentioned calls on Orsillo and you mentioned more Celtics Nets thoughts. So it's up to you where you want to go.
Based on where we are in the clock here, I'm going to take these calls.
Nice.
But then we are absolutely getting back into the Celtics and Nets. Celtics with a 2-0 series.
I'm fine avoiding it altogether.
Yeah. Nice hat today. Greg's in the car. What's up, Greg?
How you doing, guys? Again, the Red Sox dropped the ball. The whole organization is one big error. Okay, they could have got a hold of Michelle Wu, partnered up with the city of Boston, and had a Jerry Remy day and made it, I don't know, what it should have been. He's done so much for the organization, for Red Sox Nation, Rem Dog, all that stuff. Half of these people wouldn't even care about baseball in the last, I don't know, 20 years, partially because of Jerry Remy introducing him to it. And these kids love him. They should have done something way better than what they did. And again, just what the Red Sox, you expect them to do, drop the ball. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great day.
Okay, I disagree with you, Greg, because I think outside of leaving Don Orsillo out of it, their ceremony was good.
Yeah, give him the key to the city. What? Huh?
Yeah, I don't. That's all you needed to do. You don't need to go any farther with Orsillo. But I will say their messaging is inconsistent. He's the first call. He's the first person we wanted
wildly
to put in there.
Inconsistent.
And then we said, oh, yeah, you know what? We're actually not going to use the video. Like, that's odd.
If you felt he was so important that you needed him to be the first call, as both Pam Ken and Sam Kennedy said this morning across the street.
Correct.
They both said he was the first guy we called. So he's that important that you made him the first guy. But you then also didn't say, well, we've got to work you in somehow. We've got to put his video in. Wouldn't that have been the next natural step?
Right.
Well, how about a message?
Something. Again, as Tom said, it's 2022.
Yes.
Like, everybody's on Zoom. How hard is it to just get a quick video on your phone?
You own an effing TV station.
Right.
You can figure that out.
Yeah. You air videos all the time. Shouldn't be hard.
A lot of videos.
Even if you got it the day of, shouldn't be hard to say, hey, you know, it's kind of late, but can we find a minute for this Don Orsillo video?
That's silly.
They should know that. Half their games they call from across the country.
Right.
That's a good point.
Right. They didn't send their hockey crew on the road until like 2 weeks ago.
That's true, too.
They've been calling hockey games around the country from Watertown.
By the way, the Bruins do play John Henry's Penguins tonight.
It might be a busy road trip for him.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why we're wondering if he was there last night. Maybe he's got a good excuse. Maybe he's taking in the rooting for his Penguins against your Bruins tonight. Maybe that's what he's doing.
What do you think John Henry says about the sport of hockey?
I love it. It's so fast-paced. They're all moving so fast. I remember when I used to move around fast out there. The wind through my hair. Sweaty. Wash it down with a nice lemonade.
Ryan's in Malden. Ryan.
This is your cousin from Boston. How are we doing, guys?
Yeah.
Hey, Jones.
Yes.
Jones, I really wish you burned that hat, but...
I already said, if the Nets lose, I may choose to do that. We'll see.
That would be a good decision in your pot. How about them Celtics, baby? I just want to say what a great game that was. And I think the third, fourth quarter, Grant Williams and Pritchett, man, they really got that game and got that team going. I think Pritchett had a steady and calm on that. They got the 3 points going. And, man, when he got on the court, I mean, they say white men can't jump, but he can jump and shoot, man. I mean, man, I sell it, get the Celtics in five all day.
Okay. Well, I just think Williams and Pritchard both were great, but to me, they were different stretches. Grant Williams came in. I heard some of Brad this morning with TNR or with Rich and Wallach and Joe Murray, and he said, you know, Grant helped us weather that storm in the first half, which is true. You know, the three threes that he knocked down plus the free throws. You know, he had the big swat. Was that at the end of the half or at the end of the quarter? I can't remember. He had a big block at the end of the half or first quarter. So, like, Grant gave him good time in the first half. And then the best run they had in the fourth quarter, it was Pritchard in the game over Smart. And Pritchard was making the Nets defend, which is what Udoka said when we asked him about it earlier today. He made the Nets defend, which means they leave Smart. They know they have to be up on Pritchard because he can shoot. He made a couple of shots, and that freed up other stuff. And they went with him for an extended run. So, I don't know if you're going to get another game like that out of Pritchard or Grant Williams for that matter. But last night, they both played huge roles in the comeback. They did.
Let's talk more about the series. Also, Kyrie's night, he seemingly disappeared in game number two of this series and then was in too good of a mood after the game, if you ask me. We'll get into Kyrie Irving coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sub.
I think that's sort of low class.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
No, I'm not surprised at all. I just think the timing is right. their window is now for these young guys that are on this team that have matured. They've been through series together. They've been through seasons together. They've been through battles together. And I got a chance to experience some of that. And now being on the opposite end and going against a healthy Celtics team, with, obviously without Robert Williams, but you're just seeing there's a difference in their verve, there's a difference in the way they approach the game, and also they have a set offense and defense that they rely on. Ime's been a huge part of that. But you got to give credit to that guy that's sitting in the president's role as well now, that all of a sudden just, you know, we don't get to see him as often. Brad Stevens definitely has that.
Oh, yeah. Shout out ownership while you're at it. Kyrie Irving postgame last night after going down 0-2 in the series to the Celtics. Kyrie was a non-factor in game two last night. Is that because the Celtics took him away, or is that in part to Kyrie not being able to get himself sort of in the same mental space that he was in game one?
Second thing. And I think most Celtics fans, I know they say, well, you got to give the Celtics credit. What? Do you give the Bucks credit in 20, whatever year it was, 19? Or do you say Kyrie checked out? 2018, what year was that? Like, no, we know Kyrie can check out. And last night, and Beetle, you had the best conspiracy theory. You said, well, maybe this is an FU to whoever told him to not engage with the fans. And he said, oh, you don't want me to engage? You don't want me to flip them off? They're screaming at me. They're hollering at me, which I think is fine, by the way. And I think he was being a baby about. But he's being a baby about it. They're screaming at me. They're hollering at me. They're calling me names. And
oh,
you don't
Jones,
want
I'm so glad
you don't want me
that.
To engage.
You know what I had to deal with here yesterday?
What?
A Gasper.
Oh, I did hear the beginning of the show yesterday. I did hear that. Yes.
Gasper telling me all about how the fans in Boston.
No, you said, I got to be honest, I was selfishly thinking this in my head. But you said, well, you should have heard what people were saying to Jones at the Gas the other day. And Jones wasn't flipping anybody off.
So we all agree, like, it was fine what was said to him. He was being a big baby.
As far as we know, it was all fine. I haven't heard anything different. So as far as we know, you know, it's aggressive, but it's fine. And so he's being a baby about it, but he wants the Nets or Durant or whoever to have his back. And
it's Durant.
Your conspiracy theory was, all right, well, then screw you guys. Not only am I going to coast through the game and go through the motions, but after the game, I'm actually going to compliment the crap out of the Celtics. And I thought maybe it was a dig at Danny Ainge because he complimented Brad Stevens so hard. And maybe there was a tangential piece to it, but you're right. It's a middle finger to Durant and or the Nets. Yes.
Can you imagine operating like Kyrie Irving operates? Like having to think about all this stuff all the time about who you're going to, you know, get back at, or who you're upset with, well, or who you're happy with, or how you're going to play in the game based on who backs you up in them. Like, there's all these things that I think go into his.
Well, somewhere the Red Sox organization is nodding in agreement with Kyrie Irving. But yes, worrying about all these little side beefs and everything.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's got to be a tough way to go through it.
I can't imagine operating
like that. I just beef
like
with
that.
Everybody. I don't have to worry about anything. I just beef with everybody. I don't have to keep track of anything.
Well, like, oh, wait, now I'm going to wait and see what Kevin Durant, you know, and I didn't feel like Durant backed up Kyrie.
He did not.
We played the audio yesterday.
After game one, you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I don't
or,
feel like.
Or in between the two
in-between.
Games. Yes.
I don't feel like he backed up Kyrie Irving.
No, he definitely did.
I feel like when he spoke, he almost sort of excused some of the aggressive behavior from the crowd because, well, you know, he was here, and then when a player leaves, you're emotionally connected. He was sort of explaining away the Boston crowd, and I'm sure Kyrie didn't like that at all. I'm sure that's not what he was looking for. And I think Kevin Durant may have said to Kyrie, hey, Kyrie, let's just cool it. Like, let's not do that again. Let's have the attention be on winning these games.
You weren't in the building last night,
no.
And neither was I.
No.
Did you feel that with Kyrie not responding to the fans faded a little bit with the booing too? I agree.
Yes, because, here's the other thing.
All of that was down last night.
He wasn't a factor in the game.
Yep. Right.
And so when he did score, they booed him. When he did have the ball, they booed him. But when he was a non-factor, then,
but even the boos, I felt
what
like,
are you booing?
I feel like even the boos, like when he wasn't responding, I felt like all of that was tramped down last night, which is maybe what the league wants and what Durant wants and the Nets want. I don't know, but I feel like that's more proof that Kyrie fed off all the hate. And last night it felt like everybody was kind of going through, not that the crowd wasn't electric.
And fed into it and whipped it up into a frenzy and fed off of that.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Not to say the crowd was spectacular last night. It sounded like an unbelievable environment. The roof was waiting to explode off that place once the Celtics got into the game. You knew if and when they got into it, the roof was going to blow off the place, and it did. But like, I felt like the whole Kyrie thing kind of was a downward trend throughout the game. Even when he got the ball, I feel like the fans were like half-hearted booing comparing to the beginning of game two and certainly all of game one. I think that's proof Kyrie fed off of it in game one. And I think this was a middle finger, an F you to whoever told him to pipe down in game two. And so he said, all right, fine, I'll pipe down. I'll just be out there. And I'll go stand in the corner. I don't need the basketball. And when I get the basketball, maybe I'll shoot. Maybe I won't. I'll go through the motions. But, like, it is hypocritical for fans to say Kyrie has checked out for us, and he did. And he will check out again for you, and he might be. But then also say, but you got to give the Celtics defense credit. Like, I don't think last night was much about the Celtics defense with Kyrie specifically. I think he was just out there going through the motions.
I do wonder if Kyrie wants out of Brooklyn, wants to go somewhere else now.
That's possible with him.
And I brought this up earlier. And in fact, John Tomasi wrote something about this today that I wasn't even aware of when we first mentioned this a couple hours ago. But I wonder if he's doing to the Nets what he did to the Celtics at the end.
It's a fair thing to wonder.
Guys, I'm out of here. So let's shut this thing down and get to the offseason. You know, I'm done. See ya. I'm getting out of here.
My guy, Kevin Durant, doesn't have my back. I'm out.
And that's the only guy he's going to answer to in the entire organization.
The only guy he cares about.
Tomasi writes, he's done it before, and it's easy to picture how he might do it again. The Nets lose two straight at home. Steve Nash gets fired. Irving sits at a podium with a condescending smile. Miffed that he must explain how he's not defined by a game, and that in this journey through the consciousness of the human condition, every experience represents growth. And the real issue is like Nepal or microchips or something.
Yeah, why are you good?
And why he says, guys care so much about game? It's just a game.
Yeah, he says, perhaps quitting is Irving's twisted way of reclaiming the narrative. The Celtics didn't beat him. He walked away. You can't fire me. I quit.
Mm-hmm.
We're not there yet, but the fact that such an outcome is legitimately on the table with one of the most talented players in the history of the game probably explains why his last two organizations are now better off without him. A lesson the Nets may one day learn too.
So I agree with Tomasi that it's in play. I'm not saying he's going to. I still think the Nets respond in game three, but maybe I'm an idiot. I've been proven to be an idiot before. This series might just be the latest example of it. I think the Nets respond in game three, but it's definitely, I don't rule anything out with him. It's definitely in play.
Yeah, if he doesn't respond game three,
it's done.
Then
like the series is done and his tenure in Brooklyn might be
all
done.
Of
yes,
it.
Yes.
Shut it down.
Right.
Everybody's out.
Well, not everybody, because Durant re-upped there. But yes, he could be out and Nash.
Well, no, I mean the head coach is out, Nash and Kyrie is out, yep. And you know Durant now is left with what's left there. And you say, oh, Kyrie's Durant's committed there. You know how this league works.
Well, it's true. He could always
come on.
He could always force his way out. But yeah. I don't think he's. I mean, look, they'd have if Kyrie leaves and doesn't pick up his player option and goes somewhere else. Well, then that's a max slot to bring somebody in. So, I don't know. I mean, that feels to me like it'd still be a destination. Whether you use that this year or next, that's still a destination. I don't think Durant has to run, too. I don't. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so.
617-779-0985. Let's get back to your calls on the Celtics. More of that is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak.
I digress. That tastes different in Florida.
Bertrand.
I got no brother chili.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5 Sports Hub.
The phone number. Jeff is in Nashua. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, what's happening, boys?
Hey.
You know, of course, it'll give me, I got three things, and one of them is how you personally gave birth to this post-age Celtics, but of course, rabbit ears Kyrie heard the narrative that is selfishness on the Nets' last offensive set and how it cost them game one. I'm certain he heard it from KD. I'm sure Steve Nash tried to offer Kyrie, who wasn't listening, safe harbor while delicately explaining to him that KD is the best scorer on the planet. Kyrie's response, of course, is to pout, defer, and change his mind and actually be that docile zoo animal that we, he quotes, you know, we all want him to be. But Beetle, I do give you credit. When you resurfaced Ames' 2019 comments that facilitated his ouster last year, it changed the course of Celtics history for the better. If Danny had been strictly referring to Kyrie, then his comments make total sense. But unfortunately, Boomer Danny exposed himself and chose to generalize. To outright dismiss the thoughts, beliefs, and opinions of all NBA players with Danny's condescending and intentional lack of awareness, it doesn't fly anymore. So to all the fossils out there, like myself, we don't need to be woke, but boomers better wake up because ain't nobody got time for that. See ya.
Okay, Jeff.
So what are the – you brought up Angel's comments about
– Yeah, when he brought up in 2019 – that NBA players are just like Hollywood.
Oh, I remember those.
They're
the last
people on the face of the planet.
I'd want to listen to about the election, or what was he talking about?
NBA players are the last people on Earth I would ask their opinions and political views.
Yes.
The last people on Earth? I mean, that indicates that you think they're all morons,
mm-hmm.
that you think they're all idiots, that those people are stupid. Why would I talk to them?
Yeah.
And it's a ridiculous comment, number one. And the other part was, he said, quote, I'm pulling up the quotes now, there's not very many players that I really care what they have to say, which is the complete opposite of what the NBA would tell you, that they want their players to speak their mind, that they want their players to have a platform.
It's one of the leagues that does do it.
It's the league that
No, you're right.
That approves of that.
It's not one of the leagues. It's the league.
It's the league that does that with their players, that says, you know, you're you, be you. And I think the Celtics as an organization have headed in that direction and feel that way about their players. But Danny Ainge clearly didn't feel that way. I disagree with Jeff, though. I don't think highlighting those comments had anything to do with him getting fired.
Ainge fired?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, me neither. I still think most of it was on the court.
Yeah, and I think that they were looking for a new GM behind the scenes, and he was going to get fired. He was done.
Yeah. So, look, the only thing I would say, and I would remind people of, is that, you know, there's a lot of, oh, retroactively, let's give credit to Danny Ainge for his moves. I mean, maybe. I think Brad Stevens made a lot of moves and tweaks that I'm not sure Ainge would have made. And, you know, there's no one who wanted Kyrie back more than Ainge. I just remind people of that. Like, Ainge wanted Kyrie back. They bent over backwards to try to bring Kyrie back. He was probably never coming back. But they wanted him back in that offseason. So, I don't know how much you should, you know, be giving Ainge credit for what he built and didn't build here. He had to go. Just like Steve, even though Stevens is having a good year as an executive, Stevens had to go from behind the bench. They wouldn't
yeah,
be.
I think that's been a much bigger thing that has impacted the team than Danny Ainge.
If Stevens were the coach with this roster, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing.
No, I don't think they would.
And maybe it's specifically about Udoka. Maybe it's just about the change from Brad. They wouldn't be doing what they're doing. And it's the same thing with Ainge. If Ainge were still upstairs, They wouldn't have done what they're doing right now.
Yeah, this roster wouldn't exist in its current form because there's no way Danny Ainge would have traded Jones, your precious 16th overall pick.
Yes,
as we discussed earlier.
That's true.
Can't do that.
Yeah. No, really, clutch those 16th overall picks and keep them close.
Anytime anybody talks about the trade, it's just Horford for Kemba. Yeah. I would just point out there was more in that trade. But no, Brad has been aggressive in ditching. He's been aggressive in ditching first round picks.
What you haven't. I like how you phrased that. But would you agree it's a good deal?
Yes.
They did a good deal.
Yes.
Okay.
I just wouldn't leave out part of it. That's all. I wouldn't
omit. But even when you include it.
You think I would omit a fact to win an argument? Do you think I would do such a thing? No, that's beneath even me. I would never omit something.
I know you would. But even with that first round pick included, you agree it was a good deal and a good trade.
Yeah, short term.
Well, there it is. Oh, there's God. Qualifier. Qualifier.
Yeah. You douche.
Yeah, sure.
They're qualified.
And Horford's been really good the first two games.
Pat is in Providence. What's up, Pat?
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, Danny Ainge is the most overrated general manager of all time, being the big three era. Kevin McHale gift-wrapped him Kevin Garnett, okay? He got one championship out of that, and in that time didn't draft anybody to supplement that big three, which was the biggest problem with the big three at the end of the career. He had nobody to supplement.
He drafted Rondo.
That was in 06. So I'm talking about the big three era, right? Now you flash forward to this time. He drafted the core, but he just didn't get the most out of them. I mean, he has one championship in nearly 18 years, and he was able to stick around. Now look what's happening without him. That was the best thing. He needed to go. He needed to go. Bottom line.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I don't even give him that much credit.
Let me ask it this way. Who needed to go more, Danny Ainge or Brad Stevens? In their previous roles, Brad Stevens as head coach, Danny Ainge as front office GM.
I kind of think Ainge.
I think Ainge.
Your roster's more important than who's behind the bench. I mean, look, I don't think they would.
For the short term, for right now.
Yeah, I think
what's been a bigger, more impactful thing that has happened to the Celtics? And that does include this trade that they made. Al Horford is paying off huge dividends right now in this series. That's a deal that
Brad
Stevens did.
You know what I don't think Ainge would have done?
What?
I don't think Ainge would have like gotten rid of Schroeder in season and stuff like that. I don't think Ainge would have done, and it's not even about what they got back. It's about getting Schroeder the hell out of there. And maybe it's to, you know, Jacob Boston's point about Cantor too. I don't think Danny would have done those tweaks in the middle of the season.
He
wouldn't have done the Derek White trade. Not that White's been great, but he wouldn't have done that. Like, I don't think Ainge would have done a lot of that stuff. I don't think he would have.
Okay.
So I think it's more, I mean, look, they needed to do both, but I think it's more.
I would agree. They needed both, and both have paid off well. I mean,
yeah. And Stevens has been way better as an executive than I thought, or a personnel guy than I thought. I thought he was just fake kicking upstairs to go coach next year. Like, I thought if you asked me until about the midway point of this year, I thought he was fake kicked upstairs to go coach somewhere next year in the NBA, not college. You know, that Lakers opening, I would have thought 4 months ago he would have jumped at. And now I'm like, oh, maybe he can stay in this role for, I mean, certainly longer than I expected, but maybe the long term. I didn't believe that, but it looks like he can do that.
What's a better job for him? He's a coach at heart, right?
Yeah, well, what's the better? I think there's more security in what he's doing now. I think coaches are, you know, rolled up and
you've
spit
got
out.
Rolled up. You always get blamed for
especially
things.
Especially if you went to go coach LeBron. Yeah.
I would say for him, looking, and I know that he's not Danny Ainge. I know that he's not a former Celtics player with, you know, sort of a legacy and all that stuff that Danny Ainge had. But given the job security that Danny Ainge had for the last decade and a half.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you be like, I'm keeping this job as I can?
Yeah, way better
I'll
job.
Do this for the next 12, 13 years or more.
He's a good coach. So, yeah. Like, he might want to go back and get the itch to coach. But in the meantime, yeah, this is a cushy gig.
Yeah, really. I mean, think about the work-life balance. Every time Danny Ainge called Tutcher and Rich, he's calling in from the golf course. Yeah. This is not like too hard a gig. Yeah. Brad Stevens grinding it out on the road, getting into cities at 4 a.m.
And he's got a massive coaching contract that he signed that he's getting paid on.
Yeah. And he doesn't have to deal with, you know, players bitching at him and stuff like that. Like, he doesn't have to deal with that. I mean,
I would never quit. I'd never go back to coaching.
You're dealing with ego.
Never do it.
Like, you're dealing with ego, and he's still dealing with players, but it's very different. You can be the good guy compared to, you know, having to be the bad. Ah, Gee Willikers, would you pipe down in there? Like, you know, he doesn't have to be the bad guy.
What does he
cop.
Do now? He doesn't have anybody to yell at like that.
No, I don't even know what he does. He yells, he takes it out on Fred and Rich. That's what he does. They're asking him all kinds of questions. He's like, you're trying to get me to break. Ah, nice try. Buzz off, fella. Like, that's what he
What were they trying to get him to break on today?
I don't even remember. Oh, it was about the Nets crowd.
The Nets crowd.
Yeah.
And whether
Rich,
or not it was
Rich
loud.
Is like, the crowd there is kind of quiet, right? And he's like, nice try. I'm not going to break. I know what you're up to there, fella. Buzz off. Gee Willikers. That's what he was doing today. So
we do know that he has heard you do the Gee Willikers.
I unfortunately at one point had to do it filling in on this program. I had to do the interview.
For him?
Yes, I had to do it for him.
And
yes.
You did the Gee Willikers voice.
I don't recall if I did. I think I asked him if he was aware. No, I don't think I did. I think I asked him if he was aware of it.
He was.
And he was like, yes. Yeah. He's like, my wife actually wanted me to buy it. We were in Sacramento. There was a shirt that said Gee Willikers, and my wife wanted me to buy it. I think she actually appreciates it.
Oh, she's great.
Yeah, I think she appreciates it.
We're big fans of hers on the Zolak and Bertrand show.
Brad was a very good sport about it.
She once came in, visited the show, hung out for a bit.
Dropped off, what was it, a cake
of some
sort?
Wonderful Thanksgiving traditional dessert that was made in that household.
He was a very good...
cheese, pretzels, and I think maybe... it was awesome.
Yeah. He was a very good sport about the whole thing. I don't remember. I don't think I actually did the... full-on impression to him. I don't believe that's accurate.
I'll go back.
I just say he's crazy if he goes back to coaching. He's had a great start to his executive career, and that's the life he should want to live.
Yeah, the way it works for the Celtics, you know, they just got to win a playoff round, and he's probably good for the next 5 years. He's got job security for like the next 5 years in that role. That's all you got to do. That'll buy him some time.
Going on vacation.
Beetle, if anybody from the Red Sox brings by something today, you know, the dessert, don't eat it.
Oh, I would not eat that. No, nope.
Would not. Don't go near it.
No, thank you. Thank you.
That's a good point.
Trevor,
I say it all the time. The owners I like in this town are Patriots ownership and Celtics ownership.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because, and I heard Wick again on, I think it was pregame.
He was on the pregame yesterday.
Was it last night?
Yep.
Jesus, everything's blending together. And there was sort of the, like, the re-emphasis of, no, we're going for it. We're going to try and be aggressive in the offseason again to get better. We'll be aggressive at the trade deadline again. If there's money to be spent, we'll spend it. Like, I look at it, and he did. He's smart. He made a point to be like, well, I'm from here.
Yeah.
You know, which always goes a long way all of us.
Yeah.
It works. I'm a sucker.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.